Luke 11. Outlines. Ruth needs one. Dan, no, we've got it covered. Luke 11, we're in the first four verses. And Nairi's going to read this for us. Everyone happy? Everyone got a pen? Going to take some notes, mate? You going to take some notes, mate? Thanks, Callum. All right. Thanks, Nairi.
Okay, it's from Luke 11, verse 1 to 4. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'"
Thanks, mate. Why don't we ask God to help us? Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for every good thing you give us, for Christ Jesus most of all, for your Spirit, for your Word, for each other. Father, even now as we listen to your Word, teach us your ways and help us to be more and more like Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. I've had a good day today, exciting and sad day kind of thing. It's my wife's birthday. Do you know how I remember my wife's birthday? It's the 4th of May. I'm a Star Wars fan. May the 4th be with you. That's how I remember my wife's birthday. May the 4th be with you. Isn't that terrible? Okay. But it works. It works. So Katrina's birthday, my wife. But I also had to go to a funeral, family funeral today. So that was a bit sad. It was my great uncle, 92. So he had a pretty good innings. But it was interesting going, I don't know if you've been to funerals much, but one of the things they kind of weird things they do at funerals, even if it's not a Christian funeral, is that they say the Lord's Prayer. It's one of those things, the Lord's Prayer, isn't it, that you kind of know these words, they sound very familiar, and yet I think they are crazy words to say if you're not a Christian. And I think if you're a Christian, to even say or pray these prayers, these words in this prayer, is a dangerous thing to do. Because when you understand these words, they are life-changing. Right? If we really understand these words and we really want to pray them from the heart, it is actually going to change your life. And so what I want to do very quickly tonight is go through these words little by little, and I want to show how this is a great thing to pray, but I also want to show that these are great things to live. And if we can actually understand this, if God can really write these words under our heart, they can radically transform your prayer life, but also radically transform your life. They are such powerful words. So let's get into it, okay? The disciples, they ask Jesus a great question. The disciples don't always ask Jesus great questions, but here they actually get one right. They see Jesus praying. There's something about Jesus. He prays differently. I don't know if they could hear him or just watch him, but they notice there's something different. And so they say to Jesus, the obvious question, "Jesus, teach us how to pray. You seem to be able to do it so much better than we can." And Jesus gives them the answer. Well, how do you pray? First of all, these are not words that the only words you can ever pray. This is kind of like a type of prayer, a model of prayer, a prayer to base our prayers on. And notice how it starts. Verse 2, Father. Father. The first thing we should do is address God the way that he wants us to address him now that we are Christian, and that is as Father. And do you realize what an awesome privilege that is? That you and I who, as Romans 3 verse 12 said, I'm glad that came up tonight, all right? We are basically scummy sinners. None of us actually like God by nature, but God has been very kind to us. And he said, come into my family and have an intimate relationship with me, and you can even call me Dad. That's extraordinary, isn't it? And so we address God as Father, a term of intimacy, isn't it? Father. And you see, the way we're supposed to live is basically to reflect the fact that God is our Father. See, I went to a family funeral today, And I actually, it's kind of a distant part of the family that I don't know very well, but they know my dad. My dad's away, so he couldn't be at the funeral. But they saw me, and they kind of know that I'm an Everett because I look like my dad. I kind of speak like my dad, all right? I act like my dad. Right? And Christians are supposed to do the same. We're supposed to look like, think like, speak like dad, okay? And so a great question to ask yourself as you're living day to day is, am I looking more and more like dad, like my father in heaven? Am I being a child of God who reflects that I'm part of God's family? And a great question to ask and a really hard question to get right. Dad. Father. That's how we start our prayer and that's how we live our life as children of God. Second thing, hallowed be your name. Now, who has any idea what hallowed means? You want to guess? Yes?
It means holy.
It does mean holy, all right? It means holy. It means sanctified or set apart, holy. What this prayer is, what's it saying? It's saying, God, we wish that everyone would treat your name as well as it should be treated. Because you are holy, you are great, you are awesome. Your name deserves to be honored and glorified and used in a way that is holy, which is exactly the opposite as the way most people use God's name these days, isn't it? We hear God's name used as a swear word. When people get angry and upset, they, right? That's not the way you use God's name in a holy way, in a hallowed way. All right? Here is a prayer that people will see God for who he really is. A prayer that people will understand God's, not just his name, but his actual character, his being. That's what name kind of stands for. When you pray that his name is holy, you actually pray that people will understand that God is a great God and deserves to be glorified. And so what we need to do is pray that that would happen, that more and more people around the world and around the corner would understand and honour God for who he is. And that should be our driving passion in life, guys. In fact, we need to live not so much to make us look good, but we need to live to make God look good. We don't live to make me look good. We live to make God look good. Not that kind of God won't look good if we don't make him look good. Don't get that wrong idea. But our whole goal in life is to live in a way that reflects God's goodness. Make him look good. There's a quote there from a great book, which was referred to a little bit at Kick. It's called Don't Waste Your Life by a guy by the name of Jim Piper. And it's a good book. I hope you guys read this in the next 5 years or so. All right, it's not that long. It's kind of cool. It's a good book. All right, and he says this. He says basically, guys, if you don't live in a way that wants to bring God honor, you are completely wasting your life, because we were made, we were designed, we were saved to give God glory, to make him look good. And so there's a quote there on your outline there. It says, we waste our lives when we do not pray and think and dream and plan and work towards magnifying God in all spheres of life. Magnifying just means make him look good, if you like. God created us for this, to live our lives in a way that makes him look more the greatness and beauty and the infinite worth that he really is. I like that. That we live, and the way to make the most of our lives is to live a life that is like a mirror that just reflects how beautiful and wonderful God is. That should be our goal in life, guys. Not to make me look good, but to make God look good. Now, I've been asking myself some questions this week. How is it that I try and make me look good rather than God look good? Because I think that's our natural position. You think about how much time in your week do you spend hoping that people think good of you? Think of how much time you spend, say, in front of the mirror to make you look good, or doing your exercises to make you look good, or to be involved in conversations and say things so people kind of laugh and think you're clever and witty and funny, and Or when you kind of are practicing for your sport or for your music or something, you know, you're just hoping that you'll play well so people will think good of you. Now, some of those things aren't bad things necessarily. But I was just trying to think in my own life, how much time do I spend on those activities compared to how much time do I spend on activities that are designed to make God look good? Things like praying this prayer. Things like living a Christian life so that people go, oh, they're a Christian, I get it. Or like talking about Jesus in our conversations rather than just talking safe so that people will like us. Or loving others in a way that people don't just think, oh, isn't Mike great? But in a way that says, well, isn't the God who inspires Mike great? See, how much time do we spend in our week hoping people think good of us, hoping that we'll look good, compared to how much time do we spend in our week hoping God will look good? That's the challenge for me this week as I've been thinking about this. And you see, the problem is we're so self-centered naturally. We do want people to think well of us. And if making God looks good means people will think less of us, then we're less likely to do it, aren't we? You think about it. Why do we struggle to live out loud as Christians at school? Why do we struggle to stand up for Christ sometimes at school? It's because if I stand up to be a Christian, people may not like me. Now, I might lose some friends. I might lose some respect. But if I do that in a way that graciously means in the end God will get more glory, then I think this prayer, hallowed be your names, means, yeah, I should be prepared to go for that. That's hard, isn't it? I find that really hard. But if we pray this prayer and we really mean it, it will transform our lives. God be glorified in my life. Let's pray this prayer, guys, and let's live this prayer out. You notice how the prayer starts. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. What's this a prayer for? This is a prayer that Jesus will come back. Jesus came once 2,000 years ago. He promised he would come back again. And this prayer says, Jesus, come back soon. And we should be praying for this because for the Christian, the best is yet to come. This world can be a great place to live at times, and being a Christian in this world can be fantastic at times. But we've got to keep remembering that as a Christian, the best is yet to come. And so pray this and live this. Do you realize that this is not home? That home awaits us when heaven comes to earth and everything is recreated and everything's new. And if we do pray this, well, obviously you'd be crazy to pray it if you weren't a Christian. Because if you're not a Christian, when the kingdom comes, judgment comes for those who aren't in Christ, aren't Christians. And so make sure you're right with God before you pray this prayer. But also the loving thing would be to make sure our friends and our family are also right with God. Because when the kingdom comes, if you're not right with God, then it's judgment. And so to pray your kingdom come means let me be ready for the kingdom to come and let me work hard to make sure everyone else is ready. Guys, is there a greater thing to do in life? Some of you guys have got wonderful dreams for this world, for jobs you want to do after school. But let me say, is there anything more valuable than wanting your life to be ready for the kingdom to come and to bring others with you? I just can't think of anything better. It doesn't mean you've all got to go into like be a youth minister like me. It means some of you should consider it. But it means whatever you do, make sure you're working towards the goal of being ready for Jesus coming and bringing other people with you. It's a huge challenge, isn't it? Pray this prayer, live this prayer, your kingdom come. It's all about God, isn't it, at the start of this prayer? The Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Guys, when we pray, the first thing we should be doing is focusing on God and his, if you like, needs. It's the wrong word, but you know what I'm saying. It's focusing on God first. But that doesn't mean that we're unimportant in prayer, because look at the next thing, verse 3. Give us each day our daily bread. You see, Jesus says to the disciples, guys, it's good to actually pray that God will provide for your needs. And it's true that we are completely dependent on God for everything. The problem is in Australia is it doesn't feel like that. You know, if you get hungry, you don't have to get down on your knees and pray, and you just go to the fridge and open it up. I love Bart Simpson's prayer in one of the Simpsons episodes. Just about to sit down for dinner, they say grace. Bart says, "Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing." That's a great prayer. It's a prayer that perhaps we wouldn't pray, but it's a prayer that sometimes I think we agree with. We kind of go, oh, you know, we don't need God. I've got a full fridge. But do you realize, God, you're not God. Do you realize, guys, that it is God who provides life and breath and health and intelligence and opportunities for you or your parents to work, to pay for the food, to get into the refrigerator, to get into your stomachs. Like, even though there's a few gaps in between, there's a few stages in between, it is ultimately still God who provides everything. The reason why you live in Australia is because God put you here. The reason why you live in Carlingford or around here and have a fridge that's full of food is because God's graciously provided that for you. And so make sure you say thank you. I think that's one of the great ways to make sure we don't just take it for granted, to say thank you. God is a good God and he provides our daily needs. And this also means we shouldn't worry, guys. There is no need to worry because God's a good God. Now, does that mean we don't have to work, do anything? No. We go about what we have to do, but realize that God ultimately does what he does. And so for you guys who are heading through the HSC, you got to keep studying. You got to do your work. But you don't overly stress and worry about, oh, who's going to look after me in the future if I don't get 96 and a half? You know, I'm going to be hopeless. Right? God will provide your daily needs. God looks after us. And so let's stop worrying and trust in God. Pray this prayer. Live this prayer. Give us our daily bread. And then another way that God provides is through forgiveness, isn't it? That's the next part here. You notice here? That God is the great God who forgives. That's why Jesus came, isn't it? Is to die to forgive us. And so the next part of the prayer, verse 4, is to forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. It almost sounds here as if God will only forgive us if we forgive others. That's not what it's saying. The first forgiveness comes from God himself. That's why Jesus died for us. But if you've understood forgiveness, you need to keep coming back to God and keep confessing your sins. We do it once, sure, when we become a Christian, but then we need to keep doing it. Not because we're out of relationship anymore, but because, well, when we do things that annoy God, that actually displease God, then it kind of does strain, it kind of makes it a little not nice, right? It's like Katrina and I, right? We've been married for 10 years almost. When we have a little bit of a fight, it doesn't mean that we're not married anymore. But it does mean, if I've done something wrong, I've got to come back and confess that, to kind of say, sorry, Katrina, to kind of keep the marriage going strong. It's like that with our Christian lives, all right? If you sin, it doesn't mean you're not married to God anymore. It doesn't mean God hates you. It doesn't mean he doesn't want to be married to you. But it does mean you've got to keep working at that relationship. So keep confessing your sins, guys. That lovely verse in Proverbs 28 on your sheet. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. God's a good God. And even though we stuff up daily, keep coming back to God and saying sorry, and God will forgive you. God will forgive you. Think what you've done this week, guys. Think what has annoyed God, what has disappointed God. Think of the times you've rebelled against God. Confess that sin and God will forgive you. He is a merciful God. And then we've also got to forgive others, don't we? The sign that you've understood how much God has forgiven you is that you're prepared to forgive others. And so if there's someone who has made you sad, who has wronged you this week, you've got to be able to forgive them, which is really hard, isn't it? Lead us not into temptation is the next one. Lead us not into temptation. This follows on, doesn't it? See, sin, God hates sin. And so we should want to be holy. We want to be different. And so we should pray like this, that God wouldn't lead us into situations where we are more likely to sin, into tempting situations. Guys, let me be honest with you. Sometimes I like to sin. I get to a sin and sometimes think, this is going to be good for me. But of course, sin never delivers, does it? You try it out. You think it's going to be good for you, but ultimately it's not. Whatever the temptations you're going through at the moment, ask God to help you to get out of that, to flee the devil, all right? Ask God to help you. Sin never satisfies. It never comes through with the goods. It might look attractive, it might look appealing, but it never comes through. Flee and ask God to help. And then having asked God to help, make sure you do your bit to get out of the area of temptation. Crazy to pray, God, lead me out of temptation, and then go to the internet and type up that porn site. Or, God, lead me out of temptation, and then you get together with your boyfriend or your girlfriend and you're home alone and you're in the bedroom and the lights are out and the door's shut. I mean, you know, God's no fool. Or, God, lead me out of temptation, but with all the money you get from your pocket money and your part-time work, you give it all to yourself and you throw it all in the bank and you spend it all on yourself and you give nothing away. God, lead me out of temptation, but you're gossiping and you're talking behind people's back and you're doing things that you know, things are coming out of your mouth that you know God doesn't want. So we've got to pray this prayer and we've got to live this prayer. This is a radical prayer, isn't it? Do you understand this? That if we understand this prayer rightly, it's a prayer that's going to radically change our prayer life. But even just as important, it's a prayer that's going to change the way we live. That we no longer live for self, that we live for God's glory, that his name is hallowed, honoured. That we live not for our little world here, but for the kingdom to come. And we want to be ready for that kingdom, and we want everyone to be ready to come with us. And we rely on God, and we don't stress and worry, because God is a God who provides our daily needs. And we understand that we are forgiven, but we keep on confessing our sins because we want a happy marriage with God. And we forgive others to show that we've been forgiven. And then we try and not be sinful. We try and be holy. And so we ask God to lead us out of temptation. And then we try ourselves to flee those tempting situations. These are great words. And if we can actually pull this off, it will change our lives forever. Let's ask God to do that in our lives. Gracious Heavenly Father, these are incredible words. Father, we've understood at least in part what they mean now, but please, may your Spirit write these words on our hearts so that we would live by them, so that we would ultimately give you glory by the way we live. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's keep chatting about these things, guys.